We've got the spring holidays just a little over a week away, Passover just a little over a week away. And that got me thinking, I find it interesting how the first Passover happened. So I thought today we might look at how it happened, and perhaps there's a lesson in that for us. And I normally give the title as I'm speaking, because it's usually embedded somewhere in the sermonette. But today I'm going to give it at the beginning because it's actually a part of the conclusion. So I'll give it to those that want to write it down. The title of the sermonette is God Works Through, and through is in quotation marks, God works through some, but he is working with us. And you'll find out what that means later on. Now, we've all seen the movie. God tells Charlton Heston, go tell Yul Brynner to let my people go. And he does that 10 times before Pharaoh lets God's people go, the children of Israel go. The first 9 of those plagues that happen are, they have to deal with the gods, some of the gods of Egypt, the livelihood of the Egyptian people. And it's a kind of a hard hit on their religion and on their livelihood. But that 10th plague will become a very important part of God's plan for mankind. That 10th plague, there's 2 things about it. One is it had to happen. And the second thing is it had to happen on the day it happened, the month and the day. Now you might say, well, why? What did it matter? Well, let's look at God's annual holy days. God's holy days are arranged around 3 harvest seasons in the Holy Land. The first one is the early spring barley harvest, which occurs during the days of unleavened bread. The second one is the late spring wheat harvest, which occurs around Pentecost. And the third one is the early autumn general harvest, which occurs around the Feast of Tabernacles in the 8th day. So, the first Passover, which begins all of that, had to happen in the March-April time frame when the barley was ripening and was ready for harvest. Let's go to Exodus chapter 7. This is the very beginning. This is the very beginning of God telling Moses to go and talk to the Pharaoh. And we're just going to look at 2 verses. Notice what God says here. He's talking to Moses. He says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Okay, now, if you saw the movie, you know, the various plagues, they got worse and worse as it went along. And you would think that at some point that Pharaoh's going to say, not anymore of this stuff. But as we see there, God caused Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. He caused him to allow each one of those plagues to happen and led right to that 10th plague, which had to happen. I suppose the others didn't really had to, but God did say he wanted to mess with the Egyptians in a big way, and he attacked their religion and their livelihood in a big way. So God caused Pharaoh to bring about that first Passover on the exact day and exact month that it was supposed to happen. Now, you might ask yourself, why did God arrange the holy days around the three harvest seasons in the Holy Land? Well, why do that? Could have had them some other times, right? Well, United Church of God believes that the three holy day seasons represent the three stages of God's spiritual harvest. There's an analogy there of the physical harvest and then a later, much more important spiritual harvest. The wave-sheaf offering, for instance, during the days of unleavened bread, represents that first stage. That is the man Jesus returning to the Father as the first human to become spirit. Pentecost represents the second stage, the giving of the Holy Spirit to humans that are called in this age. Not all humans, but only those who are called in this age. Those who are called to become spirit beings in the first resurrection. And thirdly, the Feast of Tabernacles eighth day represents the final stage of God's plan for mankind. That's when the rest of mankind being granted access to the Holy Spirit and being given a chance to also become spirit beings in the kingdom of God, in the family of God. It's a perfect analogy. It's a perfect analogy. Now, just like that first Passover, the first Christian Passover, which happened many hundreds of years later, also had to be perfectly timed. God had to cause it to happen at the right time. We know that Jesus died on the 14th day of the first month, just like the first Passover. But Jesus also had to die on a Wednesday and be buried right at sunset on that Wednesday. Why? Okay. We know, by reading this book, we know that he was to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. We also know that he was already resurrected in the dark portion of the day following the weekly Sabbath that occurred during the days of unleavened bread. And that dark portion started right at midnight, what we would call, not midnight, sunset on what we would call Saturday. We also know that he ascended to the Father the next morning sometime. For this to all work out, he had to die in a year in which 14th day of the first month was on a Wednesday. Now, we could take this a little bit further. This is speculation on my part. It's very likely that Jesus was resurrected right at sunset, right as the wave sheaf offering being cut. And it's also very likely that the next morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning, when the wave sheaf was being offered to God, that's when Jesus went to offer himself as that first human being. That's a neat analogy, too. Now, my purpose today was not really to prove any details of the holy day season or to prove God's plan for mankind. That would take a couple hours. But mainly, I wanted to show that God is working out his plan for mankind in great detail. He has a plan and he's working it out in great detail. God caused Pharaoh to not budge for 10 of those plagues. Especially the 10th plague was over with. Also, he caused the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to happen in the exact year, month, day, and hour that it had to happen as part of his plan. Now, I might ask this question. Is there a lesson in all of this for us today? Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians. I think that here it is. Right after Ephesians. Okay, Philippians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 3 through 6. Paul here says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now notice verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, this is where the title comes in. Our situation, in Pharaoh's situation, and actually many after Pharaoh, because God has caused people to do things to bring his plan out. He's still doing it. He's working with various people. They'll have their chance later. Remember the title? God works through some. He worked through Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh kind of gets a bad name, but, you know, later he'll have his chance. But he is working with us. We have to make a choice. Pharaoh wasn't able to make a choice. He just did what he was supposed to do. And like I say, there are many right on down to today and on to the end that will be doing that same thing. But those people will have their chance later. Let's go over a couple pages here to Philippians chapter 3. And look, let's begin in verse 11. Now, this is right at the end of a very long sentence. It will hardly make a lot of sense. He says, but by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not that I have already attained. Now, I looked it up. Church or Bible scholars, they believe that this was about 28 years after his Damascus Road incident. So he's been what we would say in the church for 28 years. And notice what he says. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. But then notice what he says. But I press on. He's saying, you know, I don't have it made. I'm not a perfect Christian by any definition of the word. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I believe there are bad times coming, and I think they're coming quickly. Don't give up. Keep pressing forward. God's plan, he's going to make his plan work, and he's offering us a part in that plan. But we have to make the decision that we're going to take that offer seriously.